Welcome to the Mattcast for Christian Creatives. It's a podcast that strives to bring the art world and the church world a little closer together. My name is Matt Anderson. Thanks for joining us. It may be the biggest mistake I made as I decided to live creatively and to devote myself full-time artistically. And the mistake was this. I believed myself to be a free agent. I think artists love to think of themselves that way. It's part of the allure, frankly, of doing creative things. But I see that now as a big mistake. And if you're an artist, I want you to hang in there with me if you don't agree with me just yet. So I think for some context, I just need to back up a little bit in my own life. I think a lot of the life that I wanted to live and am living now is a reaction probably to the way that I grew up. I really wanted stability in my life because there wasn't much, frankly. Things were rarely stable when I was a kid. My parents broke up when I was six. They divorced. There was a series of relationships kind of starting and ending in the house, which would eventually lead to another marriage, which would eventually lead to a number of moves. So that by the time I graduated high school, I had had seven different addresses. And even though it was within just a couple of towns, moving is moving, if you've ever had to live it like I have. And sometimes we would only find out a day in advance. One time sticks out in particular. My brothers and I were watching Saturday morning cartoons. And my mom quite abruptly walked into the living room, stood in front of the television, because it was one of those big old console televisions back then, pushed the knob in, which turned the television off, which then caused the three of us to say, "What gives?" You know? And she said, "Boys, we're moving tomorrow." And just like that, a bomb would get dropped. And I hated that part of my childhood, hated it. I think that's probably what led me to be the control freak that I am today. I like to say that I am a recovering control freak, but I think a lot of it stemmed from that. It was just the constant dropping of bombs as a kid, and I felt this need within me that I wanted to control my surroundings so that I didn't experience that as an adult. So I decided to enter a profession with tons of stability, the ministry. Yeah, right. That may have been the single most dumb thought I ever had in my head, ever. Now, I was definitely called to the ministry, and it was what, but for some reason in my head, I thought because now that I'm an adult, I'm going to be a lot more in charge, and I'm going to be a lot more in control of these life-changing events. But there is no such thing as stability in the ministry, and I loved every second of being a full-time pastor, staff pastor, but there's definitely no such thing as stability, especially when you're not in charge. That's the way it is at any job, frankly. And through the first 18 years of my professional life, I still kind of felt like that kid who had to box up his belongings with only a day or two advance notice. And look, things happen in all of our jobs that are out of our control. A lot of us have and are experiencing that right now. And when you experience that enough, you start to come to the point of saying you want to be your own boss. And maybe there are some of you out there right now listening to this. And in the midst of all this stay-at-home stuff, you're thinking, well, I've been furloughed from my job. Maybe this is the time for me to start something myself. And again, that could totally be the Lord. You and God need to work that out. But there's an allure to it that says, yeah, I want to be my own boss. I want to be a free agent. And that especially works its way into being an artist. But it's partly why entrepreneurs start businesses in the church world. It's why some become church planters and they start churches from nothing. And if you have those gifts, great. That's awesome. I personally don't, as far as in the church goes. But let me say this. If that is the only reason why we pursue things like this, we will never make it. Because when you decide to be your own boss, whatever that means, you will very soon be hit with a bucket of cold water that no one is a free agent. So I think for a number of years, the creative part of me was becoming more and more pronounced. I would do things while I was a pastor. I would write stories. I would arrange events. I would be able to get my creative juices flowing in things. And I loved it. And so these things were starting to really burgeon in my mind, in my heart. And so when the opportunity presented itself, I thought, you know what? I want to be able to express something creatively without anybody looking over my shoulder, without having to explain to a supervisor what I made or wrote or created. Or, to be honest, I wouldn't want someone who was above me to have to defend what I did. And I really disliked putting people in those situations, my bosses especially. So, you know, I thought no one can go over my head. If they don't like it, they don't like it. Deal with it. And you know, artists like to believe themselves to be free agents. And you're like, look, here it is. Deal with it. Here's what I've painted. Here's what I've choreographed. Here's what I've composed. Like it or don't like it. And so we like to have that sense of freedom. Like to think we don't really have a boss, per se. We don't want to be encumbered with someone else's agenda, or we don't want to have to please a certain group of people all the time. But I personally believe that untethered art is the absolute worst kind of art, because it ultimately has almost no purpose. And what I want every artist to know today is you have a boss. I want every Christian creative to understand you have a boss. In fact, you have a couple of them, one much more important than the other. But as an artist, the Lord is my boss. And this applies to whatever profession or whatever life you're living. I want you to hear this verse from Romans 6:19. Paul writes, because of the weakness of your human nature, that's important to remember, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. To me, that's kind of untethered art, but you can make a good argument that it's still tethered to something. Continuing on, now you must give yourselves, Paul says, to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. Boy, we don't like that imagery, because if there's one thing that Americans are violently opposed to, it's slavery. And so when we hear that we've gone from being slaves of one thing to slaves of another, there's this part of us as an artist and probably as an American, frankly, that rises up and says, I don't think so. But my friend, it is so. Ultimately, God is the final judge on everything I create. I must be tethered to him because he is the creator. I mean, capital C, capital T, capital C. He is the creator. I must be tethered to him if I am to create anything that is worth its salt. Now listen, and Christians, hear me on this. I'm not saying it has to have the pretty little red bow at the end, because sometimes a lot of Christians like that stuff and they want everything to end like a Hallmark movie. I'm not saying that, because things can even end a little bit upsettingly or even negatively, but still glorify the Lord. I think some of the stories that we've all loved over the years that are from literature have that as a theme. You know, you think of To Kill a Mockingbird, and Atticus Finch does not win the case, but we consider it one of the great works of literature of the 20th century. It doesn't have to have this pretty little ending, nice little bow on the top, for it to be glorifying the Lord. So I want to make myself clear on that. But he is the final judge on everything we create. So the question becomes, have I glorified him, or have I merely just tried to draw attention to myself? Now, I could have said, have I tried to be a, you know, we love to call them disruptors and provocateurs, things like that. But really, a lot of the motive behind some of that stuff is just, I want attention. So am I glorifying the Lord through my art, or am I just drawing attention to myself? Because if it's just the second one, I'm untethered, and honestly is the worst kind of art. That great theologian, Bob Dylan, nailed it when he said, you're going to have to serve somebody. And he's right. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. So who or what are we tethered to? But as an artist, I have another boss, actually, and that's the audience. Now, again, I like to tell people, the church, and I like to say in art, we're not a catering business. We don't sample 100 people and say, what would you like for me to write? And then we write it. I think if we're tethered to the Lord, then it's going to automatically please the audience as well. And ultimately, they're the ones who decide, because if we want to make some kind of a living from this, someone better like it. And again, we're not trying to be man pleasers per se, but the audience is a boss. And, you know, I could write 20 books, but if nobody buys them, well, all it does is take up space on Amazon. And I can do my gallery opening with all these different pieces that I've done to portray something that I think is worthwhile, but nobody else does. Well, that's nice. You've used up a lot of paint and a lot of canvas, and there it will remain in your studio. But I think we'll know. I think if we glorify the Lord, it doesn't mean we're all going to be bestsellers. It doesn't mean we're all going to be able to even do this full time. But I think it will affect people. I think it will move people. I think it will change lives, which then really comes back to us and says, this is why I do this in the first place. So let's not be fearful of the fact that you and I, even if we're really kind of out there creating all the time, we still have a boss, and his name is Jesus. And I pray that in everything we do, we will seek to glorify him and seek first the kingdom. And all these other things will be added to you. Once in a generation, there comes an inspirational figure that rises to prominence.
Well, he was, without a doubt, the hottest thing in the country.
Everybody wanted a piece of him, and he loved every minute of it.
But nothing is forever.
I just don't think he saw it coming.
He seemed to think people would want to watch a puppet forever.
He came from another world. He brought a nation together. He taught America how to laugh again. But when the cameras went dark, so did his life.
He couldn't get work anywhere.
He just didn't know his limits.
He was just going through money like water.
Yeah, it was clear he wasn't going to stop until it was too late.
He broke all the rules.
Nobody would work with him. He had become radioactive in Hollywood.
He had no place to stay.
For all intents and purposes, he was homeless.
I would say there was about a 10-year period in which he was rarely sober.
But he found a way to live again.
Well, it's a story of hope is what it is.
Yeah, it's an American story. It's an intergalactic story.
From Melmac to your neighborhood, it's a reminder that hope can come from anywhere.
It's a story that must be told.
Coming this summer to a theater hopefully open near you. ALF, The Dark Years, rated PG, puppet guidance recommended.
There's a verse that we love to quote in church, or at least my tribe is the Pentecostal Charismatic tribe, and there's a verse we quote, and it comes from James chapter 4 that says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And I know, I mean, that's an accurate quote, and I've said that in churches for decades, and it's something that I absolutely believe because it's in the Word. But as we talk about not being free agents, I think we need to look at the full verse. And sometimes we do make that mistake. We'll kind of pull out a sentence or two and we don't really get a grasp of context. If you look at James 4:7, there is that phrase, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." But here's how the verse starts. "Submit yourselves then to God." Yeah, it's not sexy stuff, you know? In all these years that I've been speaking in church, whenever I say, "Folks, today we're going to talk about submission," I have yet to get an amen on any level. Usually it's kind of it's right up there with tithing as far as subjects people don't really like to hear. But submission is so necessary. And I know we often talk about it, appropriately so, in the context of marriage, but let me put it in this context here, because James seems to be talking about almost a spiritual warfare type of thing, resisting the enemy. And but that begins by submitting ourselves to God. I grew up watching a lot of professional wrestling. In fact, I watched it well into my 20s. And certain wrestlers will have what are called submission holds. And you would see them put them in some kind of a maneuver, and one that they hopefully could not escape from. And if they couldn't, they would have to, we call it tap out, which means they would tap their hand on the canvas saying they give up. And only then would they release the hold, and obviously that guy would win the match. I can think of long stretches of time in my Christian life where I somehow thought I could take on the Lord in the center of the ring, that I really knew best how to run my life. See, there's that control freak thing I was talking about earlier. No one was going to tell me what to do or how to do it. That had been done enough in my life. And so I found myself on the wrong end of a figure four leg lock. We'll just put it that way. And the Lord was trying to tell me, "Matt, this is not going to work for you. This is only going to bring great distress and great frustration, great anxiety and great depression. That is it. That is all this is going to bring. When are you going to be done?" And he's waiting for me to tap out. He's waiting for me to just say, "Okay, my way stinks. Oh, what was I thinking? Okay, Lord, let's do it together. Why don't we be a tag team and do this thing together rather than making you my opponent?" I don't know why we do that. What makes us think that we can somehow get the better of him? He wins, folks. He's kind of undefeated. But yet we still find ourselves not in submission to him. And I think truly great artists, at least where the Lord is concerned, are those who are tethered to the Lord and are submitted to him. Because their art has a discipline to it, it has an eternal purpose to it, it has a kingdom motive behind it. You see, the problem is, if we're not submitted to God, there's nothing to resist. Because we'll just say yes to pretty much anything that comes our way. We're not going to be able to resist the enemy if we're not submitted to God. We won't know what's up and what's down. So when something is presented to us by the Lord that he wants us to say yes to, and we end up saying no, we're not in submission. My friend, has God been asking you to do something, to change something, to add something, and you still haven't done it? My friend, you're at the wrong end. You're at the wrong end of a full Nelson. I don't know how else to say it. Whereas when the enemy presents us with something that we are to say no to, we'll say yes, because there it is right in front of us. And it looks so delicious and wonderful. And to me, that only leads to us being tortured artists, frankly. And we have to submit ourselves to God and bow our knee to him and say, Lord, show me what you want me to create. After all, folks, he is the author and finisher of our faith. So maybe we need to give him the pen first and let him start writing an outline and saying, here's where I want you to go. Now take what I've given you and fill in the gaps. To me, that's where it's really happening. It's okay. Yes, we want people to think. We want to challenge people's conceptions of what they think should be. At least if it's under God, go for it. All I'm saying is that good artistry also has accountability. We really need truth tellers in our life. We need people around us who can tell us if we're going off the rails or if what we're creating is a bit off the farm. We need people who can tell us that. We need people who have spiritual seniority over us. I would say that it's important to belong to a church, to every artist here. And I know, I get it. That might be the last thing you want to do. But we need people with spiritual seniority who are over our life, who have an idea of what's going on in our life, who we can talk to regularly and say, here's what I'm making, here's what I'm creating. I need you to pray over me that I'll be following the Lord in this, that I won't lose my head in this. We need to be tethered, fully submitted to God, so that when the Lord wants us to try something new, even if it's artistically not in our wheelhouse, maybe the Lord says, hey, let's mix it up a bit. Let's try this. Are we believing enough and trusting enough in his love for us that we will do it? Doesn't mean we're going to get some fantastic outcome. I remember the day I was walking up to my loft here where I do my work, and boy, this thought just hit me in my mind like a train, and I'm convinced it was the Holy Spirit saying, so Matt, are you okay if you never get a bestseller? And I stopped right on the stairwell, and I thought, I don't know if I'm okay. And it kind of exposed my motives, and my motive was exposed of wanting to be famous and wanting to be rich and all of those things. And I needed that exposed. And if we're submitted to the Holy Spirit, he's going to reveal those things to us that we need to be known. And if we're tethered to really good people in Christ, they'll do that for us as well. And then when you and I are fully submitted to the Lord, when the enemy tries to present something that he believes is attractive, and in our flesh, we'll believe the same way. But we will have such an abhorrence for it because it won't even compare to what we are experiencing living a submitted life to God. I like to think of it this way. Imagine if you had an allergy to, let's say, peanuts. And it's something that if you were to accidentally eat something like that, you would find yourself in the emergency room quite quickly or in need of an EpiPen. If you find yourself with that allergy and somebody offers you peanut M&Ms, now you might just say, oh, no, thank you. But I have a feeling you would be like, no, get that away from me. Get it away. There would be a resistance to violently oppose, that usually means in the New Testament. There would be like a no, get that away from me. I think that's where the Lord wants us to get, where we're so submitted to him that when the enemy shows up and says, hey, how about this? We won't just say, nah. But we will resist and say, I don't think so. Now get out of here. And because Christ is all over us and we have his authority, he will have to obey that and run. It's only the Christ in us that causes that kind of a transaction to happen. That doesn't happen if we're not submitted to him. If we're trying to live this free agent life where no one's going to tell me what to do, my friend, you're going to be the most miserable person on earth. It won't work. You don't lose your street cred as an artist by being lined up with the Lord Jesus Christ. If anything, you have bolstered that because nobody knows creative like the Trinity. So be in league with them. I challenge you today. If there is something God is presenting and you're saying no, it's time to tap out. It's time to submit and say, okay, let's do it. If there are things that we are saying yes to that clearly we need to be resisting and saying no to, all I can say, my friend, is get back with the Lord, get tied in with him, and see him speak into your life and understand what real love is. Only then will the other stuff be as unattractive as it really is. You're not a free agent. Sorry if that messes with your head. But it's time to become a slave to righteous living. It's time to become tied, firmly submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ so that our art will not be about us. It will be about him. We appreciate you being a part of the Mattcast. Our music is by Sound of Fusion. We hope to see you again soon. This has been a production of Monumental Ministries. For more info, go to mattministry.com. Hey, thanks for having me over. I had a wonderful time.